Avery Adventures Podcast number 23. Remember, you can always get 20% off at mountainops.com by using the code FATKID. We'd appreciate it. We just got a few episodes left, actually two episodes left, to get your reviews in on iTunes, Stitchers, and Podbean for a chance to win a Kefaru 14er. So you're running out of time. Hurry up and get them in. We're just going to draw a random number. Odds are great. Today on the show, we have Jake Long, a fireman from Colorado. I met Jake through Rock Slide. He is a pretty epic DIY hunter, from moose to shed hunting, elk, deer. He's a big advocate of pack goats. So today we kind of talk about his 71-inch bull moose he shot on his Alaskan DIY adventure. And he talks about all things pack goats. So hope you enjoy. All right, we're up here in lovely northern Idaho. We're at my buddy Kelly Broker's little cabin up on the Coeur d'Alene River. Kelly bought this place a few years ago, and it's a great spot for bear hunting. Jake Long, he's from Hells from the great state of Colorado. He came up to try to shoot the elusive bear. If you followed any of our stuff before, we did a 2017 Rockslide bear camp, and no bears were harmed during the actual 2017 bear camp. We did kill some wolves, but we finally said, well, screw it, we'll put out our baits. And if any of you ever hunted baits work well. Tanya shot a bear last Wednesday. Jake shot his first Idaho bear.
Yes, sir.
Last night. And we're going for the trifecta in a few days. Kelly's going to go for the hat trick. Three bears in like 2 weeks.
Goddamn right.
So, do it. What do you think on the what do you think the big difference is between northern Idaho and down there in Colorado where you hunt?
Well, I mean, it's a bit thicker up here. It's, it's like a rainforest, man. It's thick, big trees.
Definitely bigger trees.
Humid.
Yeah, Jake's no stranger to do-it-yourself kind of hunting either. If you follow on Rockslide or Rockslide Instagram, or Jake34 on Instagram is his.
Elk Hunter 34.
Elk Hunter, what did I say?
Jake34.
That's right, Elk Hunter 34. He shot a moose that is,
oh man,
out of this world. Jake, when you decided to do that, was that I'm just going to go here. I know you had Larry Bartlett kind of help you out a little bit on some of that, but was that pretty much your doing on where you were going, or did Larry steer you in the right direction?
No, it's like all the credit goes to Larry, really. Larry Bartlett, like, it's a 2-year process. So me and my buddy went up there 3 years ago, did a DIY pack raft caribou hunt on the North Slope, and just completely just went for it. 3 months out, we decided just to get these demo pack rafts, fly up there, drive up the Hall Road, and then we just trekked up all the tributaries into the sag, and we didn't shoot. Well, we shot one caribou towards the end off the highway with bows, but that got my juices flowing for Alaska, and then moose was one of my top bucket list items, so I started digging into that and found Larry on Rock Slide, a bunch of reviews about him, so called him up, and we, talked quite a bit on the phone, and it was like 2 years out, so we sent him a little bit of money, and he planned everything out for us. He said he was going to put us on an adventure, and so kind of an understatement. It was trip of a lifetime.
What did that moose end up scoring?
I was right at 234.
234, wow. And you said Boone and Crockett's like 220-ish, 220.
Yeah, don't quote me on that. I don't follow that stuff too often, but yeah, it's
one of the whitest moose I've ever seen in my life.
God, the thing was monster.
Yeah, it's 71 inches wide. Oh Lord,
I'll get the picture and put it up on the video if anybody's watching on the YouTube side of it. But when Jake sent me a picture, I was like, he has to be standing like 6 feet back or something. Then he sent me another picture, and I'm like, man, he's just holding that thing, and it just looks like freaking angel wings hanging way out in the side.
From what I can see, it's so heavy, you can't hold it out. You just got to kind of rest it on your legs.
You know? Yeah, I'm not that tough.
And then another amazing thing that he had on there, I don't know if you saw it, Kelly, but he had the back straps to hang in, like in his hand, I believe you're holding them.
Yeah.
And it looked like a freaking dinosaur, like the back straps of a dinosaur.
Well, didn't you say that back straps out of that one, like 60 some pounds?
Yeah, they were right at about 54 pounds.
Wow.
Just some back strap.
So when you walk up to an animal like that, that has to be kind of a little bit overwhelming when you first walk up to it.
Yeah. You basically shot a Clydesdale. Like, it is monstrous. And I shoot a lot of elk, but, I mean, it was at least 2-3 times bigger than any elk I've ever seen on the ground.
Oh, I could imagine.
It was enormous. It created a crater where it fell.
Did it fall nice or did it fall all shitty?
Oh, it fell nice.
Did it?
Yeah, we thankfully were patient and we called it in across this willow flat about 1,000 yards out. And so we got some time to gather our senses.
Right. And just to dive in a little background, you've been hunting since you were knee high to a toadstool.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yep. As soon as I was able to, walk, basically, I was my dad's bird dog. He'd send me down in those little ditches to kick out the pheasants.
And yeah.
So, yeah, been doing it a few years.
Yeah, that's amazing. How many trips did that moose take to get in and out? How many miles was it round trip back to the base camp?
No base camp.
No, he was on your back? How far did it take it to get it flown out?
So it's a little different than the typical.
I've heard this story, so it's pretty interesting.
So we got dropped off at this very remote alpine lake. And it was like, I don't know how our pilot got us in there, but he got us in there, like landed us, and there's no creek to speak of. Like, we're dragging 150 pounds of gear in our boat down tundra to get to the headwaters of a creek. And we never got a float. Like, we just dragged our shit down a creek in waders, your chest waders, 10 days. And you're just dragging your boat through gravel. And there's like little water and then a little bit more. But we didn't really get a float. Like, we never floated a whole day. We'd float for like 3-4 days. We never floated.
Did you know that going into it?
No. Nobody.
They don't tell you that.
Larry said, oh, you're fit fuckers. We'll figure it out.
Well, I mean, I told him I wanted, I was like, we're fit. We're ready to go. Like, give it to us. And he gave it to us. No, to his knowledge and my pilot's knowledge, no one had ever done that upper section of that creek.
So when you knew that it was going to be a physical, demanding kind of deal when you went into it?
I had a small expectation, and it was well beyond that.
Because one thing I know about Larry is a physical stud.
Yeah.
And if he says, it's going to push you a little bit, you better strap it on, because I can imagine it's really going to push you a little bit.
It's like, Jim, it's only a mile.
Yeah. It's only a mile. It ends up being 7.5 miles, 4,000 feet of vertical.
Yeah, they were not straight line miles. They were like, to go one straight line mile was like 3 miles of creek.
Right.
And you can't just hop across. You're just dragging, you're walking in the creek, and the boat's, when it gets flotation, it's hitting you in the back of the legs with all that weight, and then it starts coming around, and then it gets hung up, and then you got to pull it off of that.
What raft were you using, Larry's?
I bought one a couple of years ago, the PR-49, mm-hmm. And then we rented a Legend from Larry, and they took some abuse.
So do you have any tips for anybody that wants to go Alaskan moose hunting? Do I DIY? And what would you tell them?
Be physically fit for sure. Right. Pretty important.
Don't go where we did.
I would. It'd take quite a bit to get back in there. But
it was worth it.
Yeah, like Larry, he did all the hard work, all the research, and, finding a unit with the feed and topography and everything. He did the hard work. Mm-hmm. We just went and did the grunt work.
So what you're saying is get a hold of Larry?
Yeah, and I heard he's not doing it anymore. But
I actually saw him with the BHA in Missoula, and he said he was just about ready to hang that side up of his career.
Yeah, I could see, like, if a guy just didn't have that mental toughness going up there on a hunt like this, he'd lose his shit. Like, he would probably try to get medevaced out. Like, if, I mean, there's people that think they're hard, and then you get up there, and
right,
it's humbling for sure.
How many days in before you shot that moose?
That was day five.
Day five. And then how many days did you have to drag that big? Because not only the meat, those antlers had to be hard to move around, too.
Oh, yeah. They were about 100 pounds, caped out or skull capped out.
You had two moose and two caribou in the raft, didn't you?
Yeah, we shot the two caribou. We floated right in on them. It was so cool. But we floated in on them, and we kind of blew it a little bit, and then we floated down and got ahead of them, and then my cousin and I dropped two good caribou. That was about day four. And then every day we had to just, like, grind out 8-10-hour days. Like, there was no break. It was just go hike all day through the creek. When you got to float, it was awesome. But you're in and out of your boat 100 plus times a day.
Wow. What was the weather like?
Cold.
Was it?
Like, the highs for the first 3 or 4 days were about 15 degrees.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask you how you prepared the meat, or, you know, preserved it without spoiling, and I wasn't sure what the weather was like. So that explains that.
Yeah, that helped considerably. There's no bugs, thankfully.
What did you shoot the moose with?
7 mag.
God, I can't believe that.
Oh.
Hit a Leupold. Yeah.
No, I didn't have a Leupold. We won't talk about the scope I had on it. Oh,
the scope went to shit.
Yeah.
Well, this is the no bullshit. What happened? What was the what was the scope?
It was a Vortex Viper PST first focal plane. Blah,
what happened
blah.
To it?
Well, so towards the end of the trip, we're in big water, big angry water. We finally made it through this creek. And the creek took us 9 days to get down hiking.
Good Lord.
God.
We got on the big water, and it's like, oh, we thought we were in the clear. And then we see this angry torrent, like class threes, almost four rapids. And we got heavy boats and kayak paddles. You're not getting very far very fast without a ton of effort. And I got a little lax, came around a bend. There's this huge undertow, and I went tits up. I was in the bottom of the river in chest waders and puffies and everything, and like my raft was over tipped, and I'm like trying to swim to shore and survive, and it's Arctic water, so cold as fuck.
Did you have everything tied into the boat?
Well, I had most everything tied into the boat.
You lose anything?
I lost some caribou meat.
Damn.
Which is really? pretty bummer, but. So anyway, to get to the scope, I had a Vortex spotting scope and a Vortex rifle scope. And so my shit's going down this river in rapids, upside down. I thought I lost everything. And I get to shore, I dump all the water out of my chest waders, try to regroup my mind and figure out, okay, I need to catch that boat before it's gone and I'm fucked. So run down, jump in the big boat with my cousin, and we just passed the oar back and forth. We finally caught the boat and flipped it over. Thank God my backpack and rifle and the important stuff was lashed in, like buckled in. Mm-hmm. And that rifle scope was filled with water. That spotting scope was filled with water. My Leica binoculars, perfect. They were nice and shiny, clean.
Yeah, what I want to emphasize on that is I'm not knocking on Vortex, but everybody touts warranties these days. Well, a warranty don't do you a fuck bit of good.
No.
If you're in the Alaskan bush.
No. Yeah, I my trust factor there is zero now. I won't risk a hunt, you know, with gear I won't trust. So.
Yeah. And it could have been the first day. He'd have been absolutely screwed.
Yeah. And I ran that scope for a long time in Colorado, like, and it killed a lot of elk. But, I mean, I don't trust it anymore. I won't run them.
No, that makes total sense. So, you floated into a place and got picked up, or did you actually get flown out?
Oh, I got flown out.
Man, that's a lot of meat.
Yeah, well, halfway through the, yeah. halfway through the trip, there's a lake, and Larry's dropped people there before, and so our boats were max capacity. Like,
I can imagine.
I seen it. Like, he showed me a picture of that, and I'm telling you, I don't know if you could have got a toothpick in there. God.
And every day we had to pull all that meat off. I mean, you have to take the rib cage with the bones. Like, the only thing left at my moose site was a backbone and a gut pile.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to take the rib cage?
Because you got to prove that you've salvaged the meat.
What about that caribou? They give you any shit about that?
No. No. But, yeah, so, yeah, halfway through the trip, about day 7, I got my moose flown out, all the meat and antlers.
Nice.
And that was the only way we were able to get my cousins and on the boat, because we had no room for it.
God dang. That just sounds like a...
Sounds like a awesome, lot of fun.
Sounds like an awesome fun you had ahead.
Oh, it was trip of a lifetime for sure.
You know, Alaska seems to be that way. Me and Kelly went and shot some Sitka deer last year with Luke and Beckham off. And I'll tell you what, it was one of the best times of my life.
Yeah, I was telling Jake about that a little bit. And it was the biggest pain in the ass walking in that stuff that I've ever been in my life. But we were smiling the whole time. I mean, we were dying and having fun, you know.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
Absolutely. If you like to hunt, you have to go to Alaska.
Oh, my God,
but
yeah.
We're not even to the meat of what this podcast is going to be about. So Jake's a lifelong backpack hunter, right? I mean, how long have you been backpack hunting?
Well, honestly, like, just got pretty hardcore 10 years ago.
So, I mean, that's, it's what, 37, 38?
38, so, yeah.
In your mid-20s, you got into it, so you know what you've been doing.
Yeah.
So I've been following Jake for a while with Rockslide, and then I noticed that he was into pack goats. And me and Kelly have been talking back and forth about getting pack goats, so I've been bouncing a bunch of questions off Jake. He was probably like, shut up, dude, buy the damn pack goats.
Fucking asshole.
Asshole. Don't be an asshole.
I get that a lot.
the thing that Jake impressed upon me, the questions I had with him, he's like, and we talked about this several last couple of days while we were bear hunting, is they're easy. They're far easier than you want to believe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, me and Kelly, we're really only taking ours out for one trip, and it's just easy. But Jake, take us through why you decided to get into pack goats to begin with.
So, yeah, like, just getting really big into the backpacking, back hardcore, like, hunting. Like, I had a pretty awful look. Well, I shot a really nice buck about 12 miles in solo, and I was anticipating help, but my friend never showed up, so I had to pack that deer, the cape, camp, all that. 12 miles out, about 4,000 vert down, I lost toenails, like shredded heels.
That sounds like a fun time.
I mean, like, at the time, I had, like, an Eberle J107 backpack. Like, oh, my brutal. Shoulders were completely bruised. My hips were bruised and worn raw. Like, it was just, like, life-changing. Like, never go cheap on boots. Never go cheap on backpacks. Like, right. You just buy quality stuff if you're going to get into it.
You lose your feet, you're done.
Yeah, yep. So, after that, it was like, I got to find a better way. And I read this book, Mike Eastman's Hunting High Country Mule Deer. And the last chapter was pack goats. Or it was like pack animals. And it was horses, mules, donkeys, llamas, pack goats. And I was like so intrigued. I just like did this like massive internet research. And I started finding like people that do it and companies that sold stuff for them. And I'd call the owners, and everyone was super cool. Like, you'll find goat people are really into goats. And they like to talk about their goats.
Oh, I bet they do.
And it was like, me and my buddy, we started talking about it, and everybody we called, we could never find that reason not to get them. No one ever had anything bad to say. So we're like, well, it's either too good to be true, or it's the bee's knees. And so we went up and bought four of them. bottle raised them and start taking them hikes. And it's a slow process doing it this way. But
I didn't know that. You bought four babies.
Four babies, yeah. They're like 3 months old.
Okay.
So we bottle fed them for about a month, and then we just started taking them on trips, backpacking and
hiking.
Were they
all males?
All males, okay. Yeah, they get a little bigger. And then, like, with udders, they can catch on debris, sticks, and they can rub raw. So most people don't use females. I'm sure you could, but not ideal.
Right.
So we got these guys, and, man, they were so cool. It was like a dog. Super affectionate. They all had, like, really unique personalities. But you didn't have to feed them, and they wanted to be with you. They don't run off. It was like, wow, these things are cool. And then just over time, when they got bigger, we started loading weight on them, and it was like, wow, we can go further, stay longer.
Carry less.
Yeah. I mean, it was a major game changer for me. And like, I take my wife and nephew on these big backpack trips, and it's so nice. Like, you got 20 pounds on your back all day. We're doing 5-6 day trips. And you're just refreshed the whole time. Your knees don't hurt. Your feet don't hurt. You got camp chairs when you get there. You got good food.
And entertainment with the goats.
And entertainment.
How many animals have you packed out with Pack Goats now?
Probably about six elk. Yeah, six elk. I haven't had a pack out a deer. All the deer we've shot have been pretty close.
And what kind of weight do they normally take per goat?
So it depends on the size of the goat and their fitness level. Just like with us, you could be big, but if you're not fit, you're not going to carry 100 pounds. So with the goats, like, you know, a big alpine's about 200 pounds. You do 25-30% of his weight. That's about 50 pounds.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. And that's with working them, like doing trips all summer, shed hunting with them. Like, when they're fit, they can carry a lot. Like, last year, my big guy, he carried 60 pounds out 11 miles.
Wow.
And it didn't faze him one bit because
he was fit.
He was yoked. He was in his prime.
You on the packing up part, have you packed out a bear with one or no?
They've been around bears.
Said the only thing they kind of balked at was
a sheep. Yeah. The wife shot a ewe last year at like 12.5, and they wanted nothing to do with that thing. But the elk, they'll just mosey around and eat the leaves and grass around the dead elk. They don't care. They don't give one iota about it.
And you said that there's only really three
breeds.
Breeds to get. Yeah.
It's my opinion.
Hey, this is your podcast about pack goats. Tell us your opinion.
Well, like, I did a bunch of research, talked to a bunch of people, and like, we went with alpines. They're just super durable. They're super hard workers, and they get size. And you need those three traits to make a good pack goat.
Right.
But there's guys with way more experience than me that use Obernoffs and Saanens, Kikos, Sables. There's some La Mancha mixes out there. I got one now, and he's pretty cool.
Really? So on the goats, you're not a fan of horn tokum?
It's just one more thing to go wrong in the backcountry. Like, they're gentle, but, I mean, one little swipe of their head when they're not paying attention could take your eye out. It's just more to deal with, and I don't see the benefits to it. Like,
are they more aggressive, you think, with horns, or less, or does it matter?
I don't think it matters, but when you have goats with horns and without, the ones with horns, they have an unfair advantage, and they can kick everyone's ass.
Yeah.
So you gotcha. It's just better to have all or none, in my opinion.
So an average, you know, bigger goat can pack between 30 and 50 pounds if they're in shape.
Yeah, yeah, like absolutely.
260, like you said.
Yeah, yep.
But you got to work with them weekly or biweekly or whatever to keep them in good shape.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. What is your fitness plan for your goats? What do you do with them?
I'm a fireman. I get lots of time off. So, like, every 4 day, like, I'm backpacking. I'm hiking. I'm doing something, like, and right. I'll take them boys with me. They're fun to have around, and I'll throw weight on them just for the heck of it. And even if I don't throw weight on them, they're still getting that exercise and building muscle.
Right.
So you get a baby goat. You can't actually start using them till like 3 and a half?
You could do at like 1, you can put maybe 5 pounds on them.
Right.
And then at 2, you might add 15 pounds to them. And then 3, you can start getting up 30 plus pounds. And like the Alpines are a little bit slower growers, so they kind of max out about 4 years.
I see.
So we were talking about this yesterday also, is me and Kelly kind of lucked into a good deal. We bought 3 goats that were ready to go, 3 and a half and 4 and a half. And we got them at a good price. But I also seen that people are buying ready-to-use goats for like $500 to $700 a piece.
Yep.
But you made the point yesterday that I never really thought about. If you're taking a baby goat, you have to feed it, care for it for that 3 and a half to 4 years before you're going to even really use it to pack out an elk or a deer.
Yeah.
So another question that I've had is you work 4 years to get this goat into its prime to start packing. How long can you use them to pack?
So I've heard like 10 to 11 years.
Okay. After they're 4 years old.
Yeah. When they hit 10 or 11, they start degressing.
I see.
But it's, it's dependent. I mean, you're going strong.
Yeah. Kelly's old, 63, 62. What are you? 60?
I'll be 65 in September.
65. And he is a goat.
Yeah.
A slow goat.
Oh, that's funny. But no, that's interesting because I would just think, well, you should get a baby goat. And I understand the bonding thing.
Yeah.
But if you already have goats, 3 goats that pretty much know what the deal is, I'm pretty sure if you got a 4th and 5th goat, that they would be like, huh, well, these 3 are doing this. I should probably do this.
Yeah, to a certain extent, like, we've had a couple that have been called out of the herd. Like, they're lazy.
You get some dumb fucks that are just...
Yeah, they're lazy. You'll find goats, and if you have one
you'll
that
know
that is not a worker and will never be a worker, call them out. Like, I am not, like, an emotional person. Like, if he's not going to work for me, see ya, like, down the road.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. You're putting a lot of investment in it. And when you need them, you freaking need them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I like what I'm trying to do right now is get like an age bracket of goats. So my big boys are like 6. And then I got these 1, 1.5 year olds. And then when they're about their age, I'm going to get some small ones and just constantly
rotate them.
Yeah. Yeah. So to speak, I always have old goats, medium goats, small goats. Just kind of rotate them out.
Well, I know when Ryan and I were looking at these things and talking about them, we were hearing nothing but good, so to speak. And even after we got them, I kept telling him, I said, there's got to be something we don't know about. There has to be something we don't know about with these things because this just is too good. And so far, they have been a lot of fun. Just amazing. But I'm still impressed with their ability and what they do and follow you, no leashes. No food, no water. You stop, they stop, pull the chainsaw out, they look up, go back to eating, they don't run. I mean, I still can't believe what they're doing. So
the only thing I'll say that I thought was hilarious was if there was one downside to them is we got the goats to Kelly's house and we built this little fence and we're sitting there talking about the goats, looking at them like, man, this is too easy. Then we look down and one of the goats has Kelly's drill, his electric drill, in his or his cordless drill, walking around with a drill bit or a drill in his mouth. We're like, well, that could be a problem. You got to watch what you put down in front of them.
Yeah.
And they like high places. It seems like I built a little plaything for them out of some roof trusses that I had laying around, and it's fairly steep. But they seem to have a lot of fun on that, playing King of the Mountain.
And, oh, boy, yeah.
In a trailer, this I got to tell this story. I've been storing this flatbed trailer for a friend of mine, and his brother, while we were at bear hunting, needed it, so he came down to get it. Well, he didn't know we had the goats. And I talked to him after the fact. I was laughing so goddamn hard. He said he'd get the trailer hooked up, and every time he'd start to move, the damn goats would jump in the trailer. And he said, I couldn't get the gate open. I was afraid they were going to get out. But every time I'd get them lured away and get back in the truck, they'd jump back in the trailer. And finally, some state guy came by that he knew and held the goats off so we could get the, you know, get everything out, get the gate shut. But he didn't know that they would run away. So anyway, it was hilarious.
What, so what do you think you'd get a, you buy that goat for how much, $100, that baby goat?
Yeah, they jumped up. They're about $200 now.
$200, it's a baby, to the time it can pack. What do you think the investment into is to that?
Depends if you have property or not, but I have 6 goats. I spend, I was thinking about this the other day, maybe $150 a year for all 6.
That's, wow. That's impressive.
They have a, they have like an acre and a half of weeds that they go out and clean up, and I hay them just a couple times in the winter when we get snow. We don't get a ton of snow in western Colorado. Couple salt blocks, their C&D wormer, couple or C&D tetanus shot, and then a couple syringes of wormer, and that's it. That's all they get.
What about the really cold weather in the winter? I mean, we get sub-zero temperatures where we're at. Does, do you need to have a warm, heated place for them, or just something shelter to keep them out of the wind? Or
shelter, yeah. Yep, keep them dry. And, mm-hmm. yeah, mine have been out there, you know, negative degrees in the winter, and they're fine. They got, they are tough, well, tough animals.
They are tough.
So on the tax side, what does it take to get one outfitted, price-wise, to get one ready to go?
Starts, like, if you get the saddle bucks, the pad, some panniers, you're looking at $200-$250 on the low end, and you can go way up from there. Like, there's some guys selling some really high-speed stuff now that it's quite a bit more than that, but you get what you pay for.
Right.
Just like anything in hunting.
Yep.
Most of the time. Do you have any, I guess another knock that I hear is if you're a really fast hiker, walker, they slow you down a little bit because they're not as fast.
That's true. They aren't that, like, they don't have that 3.5 mile gait. They're a little bit slower. You could push them too hard if you're a fast walker, but I'm not in a hurry to get there.
Right.
The boys are carrying all my weight, so I'll slow down a
cut
little
them a
bit.
Little like,
I think, yeah. I mean, that's the little thing I could do for them to get where I need to go.
That's
fresh.
Where I got an advantage. I don't have to worry about that.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't see that as a disadvantage. I'm not, like, trying to make PRs going up the mountain to go kill something.
Right.
Right, and another thing that they do not like water crossings, rivers,
no.
creeks.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, they despise water.
Well, the beautiful thing about northern Idaho, where we do most of our hunting, is there's water everywhere.
Yeah.
So we were trying to tell Jake. Jake just says, I just grab the alpha and drag his ass across the river, and the rest will follow.
Yep. Yeah, I just – they have a real tight pack, you know, herd mentality, and mine are super bonded to me, so – I'll grab the big boy. I don't even have to grab him now, like going across creeks and rivers. But I just keep going. I'm like, later. Like, you can stay on that side, but you're going to be alone. And that need to be with me will supersede their fear of the water. Then they'll just – I mean, if they can find a way to not get wet, they will find it. But when they have to, they will.
Yeah, I seen that when we were packing in some bear bait, and there was a muddy spot and some little tiny logs, like 4 inches maybe, laying in the mud, and they were jumping all fours on that little log so they didn't get their feet muddy. And I was just laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
How do dogs and goats get along generally if you have pet dogs?
So, yeah, we backpack with our dogs and goats. It's a quite a show.
Getting, I think if they get used to each other, but a stray dog come in, you know, I could see that with a family dog. They get used to each other and they're cool. But a stray dog, how do they react?
They just kind of, because that's happened, and they just come running to me. I'm the protector, so.
I see.
They just come running to me. I've never had a goat get chased off. But how about, they are very capable of defending themselves.
Sure. Like
my dogs will get too close to them, and they'll like do the bighorn sheep skull fuck, and they do that one or twice, and the dogs give them wide berth.
What about on a, I don't know if you ever experienced it or not, but on a trail, like we've got some around here that a lot of people hike. They're 1-2 miles in and they go into a lake and they're like freeway trails and there's everybody and their dogs are on these things, plus dogs. And if you take a goat on that and run into these unleashed dogs, they're going to defend themselves.
Yeah. In my experience with my goats, I can't speak for everyone, but they're highly capable of defending themselves. And it, you think of it, it's a 200-pound dog.
Right.
How many 200-pound dogs have you seen in the mountains?
Right.
So the dogs, like most dogs, see that and they're like, that's a big dog. Yeah. Like, and they don't want to mess with it. But something like I've ran into is like they like to follow. Mm-hmm. And if you stop and let people walk by you, I've had this happen. They'll turn around and they're like, oh, I guess we're going this way. And they start following people back down. And it's like, there's no loyalty. But you just grab the alpha or a couple of them and just keep going.
They figure it out.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they like their herd, man. If one like starts falling, he'll turn around and come back.
Interesting.
That's the thing that I probably had the hardest time with, and sure Kelly did too, because they're on. Kelly actually has them on his property. Is if I let these things out, are they just going to head for the highway? You know what's going to happen. But it seems like they'll just stay right there wherever you're at. We'll just mill around, eat a little bit, but they'll stay in that general 20-foot vicinity.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Do you have any? I mean, obviously we talk about the positives and you talk about there is no negatives, but what are the negatives in your mind?
They're more work, like just like you're at the trailhead and normally you just throw your backpack on and go. Mm-hmm. Well, now you either got them in the bed of your truck or in a trailer, so you got to get them out, you got to get the packs on them, get the weight on them, and it's kind of a shit show. You know, you get a routine down after time, but the first few times, you know, maybe they're not like super pumped to be carrying weight today or something. So it can be a little bit of a shit show, but generally once you get everything on them and just start going, it's like drama free.
Yeah. Well, nothing is for free, so to speak. So yeah, like you say, once you know the end result's going to be a benefit.
Yeah.
And it isn't that big of a hassle. I mean, the first time I loaded him up after we brought him home to take that bear bait up, and I'm by myself and I'm going, God, how am I going to do this? Now I'm going to get one out and get it in the truck. I had the gate open. And so I got Obi out, the alpha, and I couldn't even hold on to him. He just pulled me and jumped into the goddamn truck. Yep. I'm going, son of a bitch, they're ready to go. So I just opened the gate and boom, boom. And I'm going, wow, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess another negative, and I guess it's a negative, but like when you get to camp, like where you're going to camp, and these guys worked for you all day, they're hungry. Like they like to eat. So you pull the packs off and you let them start grazing and you set your tent up and get everything set up, and once they're not hungry anymore, they're like 2-year-olds. They just like want to mess with your shit. They'll come in and try to eat your tent. If you leave your door open, they'll try to crawl in your tent. You got food out, they'll eat your food. But, I mean, that's easy to deal with. Like,
yeah, those are easy trade-offs.
Yeah, right. You just, once you see them like start misbehaving, I just tie them up. Problem solved.
Right.
It's no longer an issue.
That's the other thing that I've heard lots of different opinions about, is some guys tie them to trees at camp. Some guys take them with them. I heard most, like a lot of elk hunter guys that I know and I've talked to now since we've got them, people have been telling me that they have them, is they'll take them elk hunting with them, but people don't take a mule deer hunting with them. What's your philosophy on that?
I've done both, and both works, but, and it's cool too, because those goats will see stuff way before you will. Like if you pay attention, like a horse, they'll like lock on to an elk up the side of the mountain and you can't see it with your naked eyes. You got to pull up your binos. So they've spotted elk for me.
Wow.
Deer. So, and they're like, they are live decoys. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Like you could just kind of crawl behind them and that deer and elk isn't going to run off. He's like, oh, shit. A small deer, but okay. So
like an elk blind that you're holding and walking with.
But trying to get a shot, like they've kind of like gotten my way a handful of times. Like I'm ready to send it, and here comes a goat. I'm like, God dang it, man! Like, get, and they want to just be right.
You can't yell at them.
Yeah, it's like, God dang it, man! You got to get in the back.
throw the rifle on their back and shoot off them.
Yeah, no. No.
That's this for me, and I am no goat herder. We've had them for like a month and a half, but I see no downside, especially when me and Kelly want to do some bigger, longer backpack hunts. And man, Kelly's getting older. I am no fitness fanatic, and I just see nothing but upside as far as you can pack almost a whole elk out on four. You can easily pack a deer out on four. Oh, you can pack a deer out probably on two.
Yep.
And they can kind of supplement your weight, your food. Obviously, the pack out, the pack in will be way easier.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's getting really hard for me to carry the weight anymore to go in for even 3 days, just for what I need to survive on, I guess. And then if I get some, you know, it's just harder and harder every year. So I wish we'd have done it a long time ago. I might be in better shape.
Absolutely. Do you have any resources out there for people looking for pack goats or looking to get into it?
Yeah, so, I mean, Google. There you go, Google.
That Google, she's a bitch.
Yeah, but like where we did most of our research initially was Northwest Pack Goat Supplies, and that dude is super cool. But, I mean, you call any goat person, man, they like to talk about goats. Right. Like, they're just – people are passionate about it because they are super cool. They're like your family dog. And I got a bunch of research off of Uintah's Pack Goats, I think it was, and then just random spots on the web.
You like could probably just punch in pack goats and come up with a ton of different places.
Yeah, that Mark guy has a pack goat website.
Mark Wanky.
Wanky, yeah. Yeah. And he builds some really cool stuff. I just haven't been able to afford it.
But yeah. What saddles are you using?
Northwest Pack Goats.
Northwest Pack Goats. And you just use the – there's nothing – special about it, and you just strap them on and make sure the weight's even and go.
Yeah.
No, that was another thing we found out. The weight is, it's critical that you get the weight on each side or they just, they're off one side or the other, you know, if you don't get it really close.
Yeah.
Well, I think we beat the proverbial goat to death. So how can they find you, Jake?
Elk Hunter 34 on Instagram.
Yeah. Facebook, Jake Long.
Yeah, Jacob Long. Jacob Facebook. Long. Yeah.
And if I see those late night State Farm commercials, he's Jake from State Farm. Yeah.
Sound hideous.
All right, guys. Another thing I want to say is we're giving away a Kefaru 14er. All you have to do is go on and leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. And we're going to give it away on episode 25. I believe this will be episode 22. This will come out next week. So get those reviews in, and we appreciate it. Jake and Kelly, I appreciate you guys coming on and bullshitting with us.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.